KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies. Temperatures holding steady at 31 degrees. We'll look for some patchy fog this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy to cloudy skies today and a high of 42. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In Western Iowa news, a woman who told investigators she threw her baby son at his hospital crib in Sioux City has pleaded not guilty. Court records say Megan James entered the plea Monday to child endangerment resulting in serious injury. A court document says James acknowledged to detectives that she became frustrated while trying to breastfeed her son 2 days after he was born on November 15th. She said he hit his head on the crib when she threw him, and then on the hospital room floor. The document says he suffered some skull fractures. A man who conducts the annual Iowa State Survey on farmland value says many owners have been able to weather the downturn in the farm economy because they don't have to make payments on their ground. Wendong Jong says it's something that goes with the profile of the state's residents.
82% of the land is owned debt-free. So that is in part related to the aging population. There's more and more land owned by aging landowners. 60% are owned by landowner who are 65 or above.
He says there also seems to be a lot of carryover from the days of record high commodity prices.
I'm personally surprised how much equity and cash were stored through the golden years from 2003 to 2013. What during those years, during that decade, essentially the Iowa farmers and across the Midwest have seen 8% annual growth in their inflation-adjusted income.
But Jung says there is a growing concern about the continuing rise in the number of farm bankruptcies as the economic downturn continues. He said when land is sold, it continues to be mainly an Iowan to an Iowan sale.
There are growing interest in investor demand that is noted by our respondents as well, but the majority of the action are still existing local farmers buying land, and often buying very land nearby their operation as well.
And Jong says the land that is available comes after the owner retires or passes it on.
Half the land are coming from estate sales. 24% is coming from retired farmers.
And he says that those sales are most often to family members or other farmers. Just 10% of gas stations in Iowa have pumps that will dispense the higher blend of ethanol that's now cleared nationally for sale year-round. The Iowa Renewable Fuels Association is asking state officials for a 66% increase in the total amount of state cost share grant money that is available to stations that install E15 pumps. Nathan Honston is a lobbyist for the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association, and he says those state grants over the past few years have had a dramatic impact.
In 2012... when we didn't have a single station or location in Iowa that was selling E15, you're now having about 230, just roughly 230 locations that do sell E15. We're very proud of this progress. However, there's still a lot of uncertainty at the federal level with the RFS and with trade.
The state's Renewable Fuels Infrastructure Program will hand out $3 million in grants this year. The industry is calling on state officials to set aside $5 million next year to award to stations that install E15 pumps.
With the new rule of year-round E15, this past summer you saw E15 sales grow by 46% nationwide compared to 2018.
Onston said the biofuels industry is facing economic headwinds, so expanding the number of stations where consumers can buy E15 is important.
Roughly about 50,000 jobs are supported by the biofuels industry here in Iowa.
There are 43 ethanol plants and 11 biodiesel plants in Iowa. The math breaks down to the state program would hand out $3 million in grants this year for E15 pump installation. IRFA is asking for an additional $2 million next year for a total of $5 million in grants, and that would be a 66% increase. A hulking vacant John Deere tractor factory in Waterloo that was built in 1947 has been saved from the wrecking ball and transformed into an upscale hotel. Originally called the C2 building, the six-story structure is now a Courtyard by Marriott. Michael Moraine, the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, said the project has won on a top historic preservation award from the state of Iowa.
It was an opportunity and a challenge for the architect envisioned to come in and figure out how to turn this empty brick box into a stylish, swanky hotel for modern for modern guests.
It's unusual for Marriott to convert a historic property, but Moraine says the company saw an opportunity to open a high-end boutique hotel in an area of Waterloo that was being overlooked.
If you get a chance to walk in, it feels like an old building. You can immediately see the historic elements, but it also feels like a modern, stylish hotel that is polished and has all of the creature comforts that guests are used to.
Davenport developer Rodney Blackwell worked with the state and with Marriott to preserve the 200,000-square-foot building, which had been vacant for years, and give it new life.
One cool solution that the architects came up with, on each floor, there were lots of windows to let in light, but the windows were too high to see out of, so they raised the floor. They built false floors on each of the floors, which let people see out those windows. But those raised floors also provided space to hide all of the wires and all of the ductwork and things.
Residents all across Iowa are encouraged to take a closer look at their local history and consider ways to repurpose old buildings instead of knocking them flat.
So often we find that the easier, quicker solution might be to bulldoze them and build new. But really, there are all kinds of examples of communities in Iowa that have really rallied around historic properties and turned them into anchors for arts and culture and vibrant gathering places.
The Iowa State Historical Society says the Waterloo Project displays one of the best recent examples of historic preservation in the state. Well, economists are taking stock as Iowa enters the 2020s to indicate this decade has been a bumpy ride for key sectors like agriculture and technology. ISU Ag economist Chad Hart says there were about 93,000 farms in Iowa in 2007.
2017, they updated the Census of Agriculture. We only had 86,000, so we have seen the number of farms shrink. That means the average size of the farm has grown. It takes more money to farm these days. We've seen incomes rise, but we've also seen expenses rise.
The other thing that's rising is the number of farmers who have off-the-farm jobs, according to Hart.
We have some farm families that are surviving by not necessarily growing the farm, but relying upon the farm as part of the portfolio of their economic activity.
Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says there's more volatility in Iowa's agriculture and manufacturing sectors now than in the previous decades because of global competition.
That presents challenges, but opportunities. One other factor that Iowa has been pretty successful historically in attracting workers from other nations, that's legal migration. And of course, that's slowed down dramatically just over the last couple of years.
And Dave Swenson, another economist from Iowa State University, says manufacturing and construction are reasonably bright spots in Iowa's economy.
In contrast to the nation, we have more people working in construction than we did before the Great Recession. And our manufacturing sector in total actually has recovered to close to what it was prior to the recession.
Bud Swenson said while the state's unemployment rate is historically low, overall job growth in Iowa lags behind most other states.
We have fewer fast-growing sectors in our economy compared to the nation. Our information sector contracted sharply, but the subset of that information sector, for example, IT, it also contracted, whereas nationally IT and IT-related business opportunities are growing, and especially in hot spots like Seattle and the San Francisco area and Denver and places like that.
Goss, the Creighton University economist, regularly surveys purchasing managers and bankers in Iowa and other Midwestern states. He says he's concerned by the declining number of independent banks.
That becomes a real challenge for lending in the area, and as farmers, manufacturers, individuals don't have a source for borrowing or savings in a bank that's locally tied. And those banks that are independent community banks, and they understand their customers.
According to the state banking division, about 30 state chartered banks closed between 2011 and 2018, and more than 50 federally regulated community banks closed during that same period. Those trends are happening in other states as well. Iowa ranks 30th overall in terms of economic output. According to the latest federal data, the state's gross domestic product rose just over 1% in the second quarter of this year. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.